Take my eyes open to force reality. Why can't you just let me eat my weight in glee? Hush.
Hello, World Ablaze listeners, and welcome to episode 67. 67. Well now, what do we make of what's going on with Ukraine? What is going on with the situation? This has become the Real Housewives of Ukraine. You can't write this drama to be any more engaging. And let me make this clear. I'm not making light of the situation. I want to also make it clear that we all must acknowledge that Russia is the aggressor. Russia invaded Ukraine. Russia invaded Ukraine in 2014, annexed Crimea. The rest of the world kind of turned their shoulder a bit. They're like, yeah, that happened. But here we are, 2022. The invasion begins once again. And this time, it's ugly. It's beyond ugly. It's definitely worse. It's not any worse for wear in terms of loss of lives. Like, people died in 2014, but this war has been going on a while. Here we are, 3 years into this war. Thousands of people died on both sides. But we are seeing a smaller, weaker country, not weaker in spirit, not weaker in fighting ability, but weaker in size, weaker economically, weaker in supplies, but not in spirit, not in fighting spirit. No, can't take that away from Ukraine. But Russia is the aggressor. They are. Now let's get to the Real Housewives of Ukraine part here. Zelensky has been on a fundraising tour. He's going from nation to nation in Europe. He's going to France. He's going to UK. He's shaking hands, kissing babies, saying, hey, you know, a little more money maybe, please, a little more money. How about you? You got any money for me? Look what I can do. I could jump around. I do acrobats. I spin. I make jokes, right? Look at me. Hey, look, this guy has been funded extremely well by both the European nations and by the United States of America. He has been backed by both Europe and the United States. He has been given military equipment, supplies, and technologies to fend off Russia. This has been going on for 3 years straight. Three years. Hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars between Europe and the United States. I don't even know the total value of military support by way of equipment, munitions, rockets, anti-aircraft technologies, anti-missile technologies. I mean, look, there's a lot of money that's been invested into this small nation to fend off Russia. And rightly so. We should support Ukraine. I don't think anybody said that Ukraine didn't earn the support of anybody. Who wants to see the small guy crushed for no reason other than just existing? We all agreed on that. But after a while, it gets to be tiresome. Not that we want to see them fail, believe me. So America, they're fed up. They're like, yeah, we do agree. We do agree that we want Ukraine to win this thing. But we can't keep bleeding ourselves for your success. Hundreds of billions of dollars the U.S. has given Ukraine. Military support, also hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. And it's not enough. It's never enough. Zelensky keeps coming back to the well to get more and more and more. And at some point, we got to put our foot down and say, hey, look, what are you doing with all this money? We're giving you everything you need to succeed and you're not succeeding. What more could be done? Now, that answer lies in what Zelensky has alluded to many times in both press coverages and in the not so good meeting between him and President Trump recently. That didn't go so well. Everybody saw it. It didn't really go so well towards the end. The beginning was fine. Towards the end, fell apart. But regardless, it's never enough. Zelensky is just always claiming, I need security guarantees. Not just from the U.S., by the way. To everybody. He goes to every nation. I need security guarantees. What are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me? Look, this is what's going to happen. You give me money, plus you protect me. And what is Ukraine doing in return? Other than nations going out of their way for what? Defending democracy? And look, democracy must be defended. It must be defended. The free world must prevail. But at what point do you have to start calling Ukraine out? Just a little bit. Because they have been given a lot of resources and a lot of money. And when Zelensky's wife drives around in an expensive Bugatti, has, I believe, close to $1 million diamond necklace, an extravagant Rolex, and they themselves together have purchased throughout this time period multiple villas in different countries to the tune of millions of dollars. So yeah, nations have a right to ask. Yes, the United States has a right to ask. Very well so. So as a nation that wants them to succeed in this fight, we still got to ask, where's all the money going? Why do you keep coming out over to our house with your hand out? Now, everybody saw the video. I'm sure saw the video of Trump and Zelensky and J.D. Vance. And we all saw how that went towards the end. And that's the thing. Everybody saw the end of that video. And right away, Trump was the enemy. J.D. Vance was the enemy. In fact, the United States was the traitor to democracy across the world. Everybody said that is not how an ally acts. And we gotta take control. Well, look, Europe, let me just be very clear. The United States has been telling you to take control for quite some time. And in fact, this is in your backyard. You should take the lead. You should take the lead. But what's interesting is after everybody is saying, we don't need the U.S., screw President Trump, that meeting was horrific. That's not how you treat an ally. That the U.S. is nothing but a bunch of bullies just trying to bully a war-torn country out of the only thing they have, which is their precious minerals, to make this mineral rights deal. And I'm gonna get to that later, because the UK pulled a fast one that kind of went under the radar with the press in January. I believe it was on January 26th of 2025. So I'm gonna get to that. But first, let me read this post, because what's interesting is Zelensky was all huffy and puffy after that meeting with Trump. He was basically being very snarky about the United States. He was shaking hands with Prime Minister of UK. He's meeting the King of England. He's shaking hands with Trudeau. He's shaking hands with France, and he's getting them all to give him more money, more support. UK said, you know what? We're gonna give you more aircraft. We're going to make sure that we also give you a loan. They gave him a loan, nearly 2.6 billion euro loan that is somehow allegedly going to be paid back by frozen Russian assets. So is Zelensky paying this back or not? It's kind of unclear. Just it's going to be paid back with frozen Russian assets, regardless. So here we go. The prom queen Zelensky, the star of the Real Housewives of Ukraine, is making the tour. He's playing the drama card and he's getting his money. He's getting his military support, but all while saying everywhere he goes, you know, I appreciate the help, but we still need the U.S. involved. The U.S. is the, as he calls it, the backstop to the deals here, to all the deals. And funny enough, even the European nations, they had an emergency meeting after stating they don't need the United States, that we're just an enemy to democracy and we're not a good ally. But yet then they call for the United States to view the peace proposal that they are putting together. I mean, if you don't need the U.S. and you got this, why are you reaching back out to us? Like, why? Look, you got this. This is your backyard. Handle it. Why is Zelensky completely happy with all the aid that has just been given to him in Europe, but keeps insisting that he needs the U.S. as he says, and I quote, the backstop to this deal? He still needs us involved. That's interesting. So after all of that, suddenly Zelensky this morning, this is March 4th, 2025, this when this is recorded. In the morning of this day, March 4th, 2025, Zelensky makes a post. I mean, hot off the social media posts here, the social presses. He begs the U.S. The U.S. he said he didn't need. He wants peace. The peace deal he said he didn't want because he wants to keep fighting. Interesting. I'm going to read this post. I'm going to read this post to you. And this is Zelensky, straight from his verified account. Also, this was in the presses, which include not just social media, but also legacy media. And here you are. This is Zelensky. This is what he says. I would like to reiterate Ukraine's commitment to peace. None of us wants an endless war. Ukraine is ready to come to the negotiating table as soon as possible to bring lasting peace closer. Nobody wants peace more than Ukrainians. My team and I stand ready to work under President Trump's strong leadership to get a peace that lasts. We are ready to work fast to end the war. And the first stages could be the release of prisoners and truce in the sky, which means ban on missiles, long-range drones, bombs on energy and other civilian infrastructures, and truce in the sea immediately. If Russia will do the same, then we want to move very fast through all next stages and to work with the U.S. to agree a strong final deal. We do really value how much America has done to help Ukraine maintain its sovereignty and independence. And we remember the moment when things changed, when President Trump provided Ukraine with javelins. We are grateful for this. Our meeting in Washington at the White House on Friday did not go the way it was supposed to be. It is regrettable that it happened this way. It is time to make things right. We would like future cooperation and communication to be constructive. Regardless of the agreement on minerals and security, Ukraine is ready to sign it anytime and in any convenient format. We see this agreement as a step toward greater security and solid security guarantees, and I truly hope it will work effectively. Now, that is a very interesting post and a huge contrast to what Zelensky was pushing for in that meeting. He was pushing for President Trump to commit to more than security guarantees. Rather, he wanted him to define the security guarantees because Zelensky stated more than once that, you know, these guarantees are not going to be enough to stop Putin. It's not going to be enough. So, well, what is enough, Zelensky? What are you asking Trump to do? What, you want boots on the ground? Is that what you're alluding to? Is that what you're asking? I mean, how else can you hint at what you want without hinting at what you want? And so the problem with everything is the press did a very bad job of really telling you the whole story of the meeting. Very few people even saw the live broadcast. They saw, I think it was a couple of minute clip that made it onto social media, which basically showed Trump and J.D. Vance berating Zelensky. But then I asked the question, how did it get there? So here's the thing. I'm going to play the first clip that everybody saw. And it doesn't look good to the U.S. It really doesn't look good. Doesn't make us look good. Doesn't look make Trump or Vance look good. But I'm going to play it. So I'm going to play some of this because just the part you really need to hear. I'm not going to play the whole 5 minutes on this, but here you go. Check this out.
Yes, Quantum. Yes, but after that, he broke this ceasefire. He killed our people and he didn't exchange prisoners. We signed the exchange of prisoners, but he didn't do it. What kind of diplomacy, JD, you are speaking about? What do you mean?
I'm talking about the kind of diplomacy that's going to end the destruction of your country.
Yes, but if you
Mr. President, with respect, I think it's disrespectful for you to come into the Oval Office and try to litigate this in front of the American media. Right now, you guys are going around and forcing conscripts to the front lines because you have manpower problems. You should be thanking the president for trying to bring it into this conflict.
Have you ever been to Ukraine? Did you see what problems we have?
I have been to.
Come once.
I've actually watched and seen the stories, and I know what happens is you bring them on a propaganda tour, Mr. President. Do you disagree that you've had problems bringing people into your military? And do you think that it's respectful to come to the Oval Office of the United States of America and attack the administration that is trying to prevent the destruction of your country?
A lot of questions. Let's start from the beginning.
Sure.
First of all, during the war, everybody has problems. Even you, but you have a nice ocean. and don't feel now, but you will feel it in the future.
You don't know that. Don't tell us what we're going to feel. We're trying to solve a problem. Don't tell us what we're going to feel.
I'm not telling you.
Because you're in no position to dictate that.
That's exactly what you're doing.
You're in no position to dictate what we're going to feel.
All right, so from there, it just goes on, and it just becomes kind of a shouting match. And right away, Trump bad, Vance is an asshole. Oh, poor Zelensky, because what people glossed over is he challenged J.D. Vance right there. Now, you didn't hear the beforehand, but he basically, it sounds like, Zelensky going, oh, well, so what are these guarantees? No, he was challenging what the guarantees mean. What he was challenging was the statement made about trying to come to a peaceful resolution through diplomacy. And Zelensky didn't want to have it. He wasn't accepting that. So I queued up a little bit of this video, which starts earlier. And I want you to understand how it got here. So earlier in this meeting, which is about 50 minutes, by the way, it's almost an hour long, Zelensky more than once dropped hints to Trump about the guarantees. What are the security guarantees? And stated the guarantees are not going to be enough. We need more. What can you do? Anyway, let me just play this clip because this is a good example here of him trying to get Trump to define those guarantees.
Please, about security guarantees and about just ceasefire. We can't just speak about ceasefire and speak and speak. It will not work. Just ceasefire will not never work because I'm like a president. I have this experience, and not only me. Ukraine before my presidency from the 2014, Putin broken 25 times. 25 times he broken his own signature. 25 times he broken ceasefire.
He never broke to me.
You were the president.
He never broke to me.
In 2016, you won't been the president, Mr. President. You've been the president, but he had, of course, not with you, but he had during those period, he had conversations with our side. And we had Normandy format, you know, the France, Germany, Ukraine, and Russia. And he broken 25 times. That's why we will never accept just ceasefire. It will not work without security guarantees. Security guarantees, maybe President is right about this document and other, but this document is not enough. Strong army is enough because his soldiers afraid, Putin's soldiers afraid of our soldiers when we're strong enough. If we are not strong enough, if we are empty, if our storage is empty, we can't defend our land. Today, you know, he knows that we have all the world knows that we have meeting. Yes? Why he's using ballistic? Putin today using ballistic on our hospitals, schools, and etc. Ballistic. So he knows that we are here and that President Trump is really have goodwill to stop this war. And you hear now the president. So why he's using? So he doesn't want to stop. He doesn't want. But I hope that we will do it. Really, we'll do it. Security, when we speak about security guarantees, when the Europeans are ready for contingents, they need USA backstop.
Okay, so as you just heard, and that was close to 2 minutes or so, I had to stop it. I don't want to let it keep going on here. But the reality is, you needed to hear that because you can hear firsthand that Zelensky wants more than what Trump has promised to be security guarantees. He said security guarantees aren't enough. We need a strong army. We need a strong army. This paper document isn't enough. We need more than security guarantees. What does that mean? What does that mean, Zelensky? What are you hinting at here? What he's hinting at, and if you can't read between the lines, I'll just say it. He wants American troops on the ground. He wants a military presence from America. But Trump will never say it. He will not say it publicly. He will not say it until this document is done. Now, Trump has stated, which is true, that our presence is enough. Once this deal is done, by the way, and we have United States workers and United States companies in multitude there is a investment that is made, an American investment, a monetary investment, as well as a political investment now tied to the country of Ukraine, physically. Russia will not mess with Ukraine with an actual American presence there. And if they do, Russia knows that they're going to be triggering an all-out war that they're not going to win. So this is very telling. This is very telling of Zelensky. The prom queen who's been used to getting his way, because Biden would just fold and give him just about whatever he wanted, even if he didn't agree with him. I'll give Biden credit. There was a time where Biden was a little mad. He was a little mad at Zelensky, but still gave him what he wanted. And so anyway, after this meeting, Zelensky runs off and makes another European tour to try to bolster more support. And I think he really did it as a way to throw it in Trump's face, because he came back around. I did read the post from this morning of March 4th, 2025, or at least the post of the morning of this recording, and where he was begging the U.S. to come back to the table and sign a deal. A deal that everyone says that the United States of America is nothing more than being a big bully about, by taking precious resources away from little old Ukraine. Oh, poor little Ukraine. Okay. Well, let me play also a little bit more of that meeting that led to the breakout between Trump, Vance, and Zelensky. Because you can already see that Zelensky's being pushy. And then when Trump stated he wanted peace through diplomacy, see, Trump doesn't want to go to war. He wants peace through diplomacy. But that wasn't enough for Zelensky. He questioned how good that will work. He questioned whether or not diplomacy is enough. Like, what is your diplomacy worth, is basically what he asks. So here, I'm gonna play what leads up to that blowout.
It doesn't work that way. I'm not aligned with Putin. I'm not aligned with anybody. I'm aligned with the United States of America and for the good of the world. I'm aligned with the world, and I want to get this thing over with. You see the hatred he's got for Putin. It's very tough for me to make a deal with that kind of hate. He's got tremendous hatred, and I understand that, but I can tell you the other side isn't exactly in love with, you know, him either. So it's not a question of alignment. I'm aligned with the world. I want to get the thing set. I'm aligned with Europe. I want to see if we can get this thing done. You want me to be tough? I could be tougher than any human being you've ever seen. I'd be so tough. But you're never going to get a deal that way. So that's the way it goes. Next, all right, one more question.
I want to respond to this. So look, for 4 years in the United States of America, we had a president who stood up at press conferences and talked tough about Vladimir Putin. And then Putin invaded Ukraine and destroyed a significant chunk of the country. The path to peace and the path to prosperity is maybe engaging in diplomacy. We tried the pathway of Joe Biden of thumping our chest and pretending that the president of the United States' words mattered more than the president of the United States' actions. What makes America a good country is America engaging in diplomacy. That's what President Trump is doing.
Okay, so those were the statements made by Trump and J.D. Vance before the blowout that came after. And what triggered J.D. Vance and then triggered Trump is that Zelensky basically called out Vance and asked him, what good is your diplomacy? What good is your diplomacy? You have the United States offering the ability to negotiate peace through diplomacy, stating that they are in a position that they can make this happen. And Zelensky just spits in their face and is like, your diplomacy means nothing. That is what triggered that blowout that everybody was talking about, that everybody is saying that the United States is no longer an ally, that they treated Zelensky badly. Poor Zelensky, Zelensky, Zelensky. But Zelensky threw a temper tantrum, like a three-year-old, like a little child. That's exactly what he did. And he kept pushing Trump. And Trump kept his calm most of the way until he attacked J.D. Vance. And then Trump jumped to Vance's defense. He kept pushing Trump to define those security guarantees, because they're not enough. What are you actually going to do? He dropped those hints throughout this entire 50-minute conversation. So again, today, he's begging the U.S. to come to the table after he's already gone and taken whatever he could from the other European nations, outside of the UK. I mean, I should have defined. So that's, you know, the UK and France. Germany is also stepping up. I mean, everybody in Europe is behind Zelensky right now. And after he got everything he wanted there, he's coming back and begging Trump to come back to the table and please give me your support. Now, let me address everything that the people across the pond, as we say, the people in the UK, who've been criticizing Trump for the mineral rights deal that he was trying to sign. People don't understand that that deal wasn't all in favor of the U.S. That committed the United States to improving infrastructure, bringing the equipment over there, the manpower, the machinery, etc., to mine these minerals and process them. And the agreement was going to be that we were going to split the profits between the U.S. and the Ukraine. So it wasn't a 100% one-sided deal. But lo and behold, what many people don't know, what many, many people don't know, is that the U.K. actually pulled a fast one and signed a deal back in January 26 of 2025. A deal that everybody is saying that Trump is a bully for, that the United States of America are just anti-free world thinking, anti-democracy, can't be trusted partners. Everything that the U.S. was trying to go after was so wrong for doing. And part of that deal that was signed in January 26th, now I can't understand why this wasn't such a big deal in the media, because hardly anybody heard of it. It just kind of resurfaced again recently, and I just came across it. So basically, while Europe and the legacy media called Trump a rude tyrant, the UK, they went ahead and they made a similar deal, but with more conditions. Now, the UK signed a 100-year partnership declaration, and they're going to be giving the Ukraine $3 billion per year, €3 billion per year. And they're going to help them develop their financial districts, their businesses, by, of course, using British banking systems and British trade relations. Interesting. Well, that sounds like it kind of goes in favor of the UK, doesn't it? And the real contested elements that the British are promising, or that the UK is promising, that the US were called traitors over, is, well, a mineral rights deal. A mineral rights deal. Interesting. Okay for the UK, but not for the US. I get it. And their mineral rights deal actually gives much more benefit to the UK than it would give to the US. They also go on to say that they will guarantee a pathway to NATO membership. Really? UK is saying that they can guarantee this. They're going to work on the Ukraine's behalf to become a NATO member. Something that will definitely trigger Putin into going to war. Something that everyone's trying to avoid. But you go, UK. You got this. You got this. They also offered security guarantees. Security guarantees that apparently included troops, but mostly in equipment and aircraft and other military supplies. But thus far, I got to say, I haven't seen a lot in way of troops on the front lines from the UK or France. I know they're at the ready. So how is all this okay? Now listen, this is just a small amount of what's in this deal, but these are the bullet points. These are the bullet points. But all in all, this agreement is written to where it really bolsters up the UK's economy, the UK's banking system, the UK's trade partnerships. And of course, they get a huge chunk of those mineral rights. Oh yeah, 100-year deal, baby. It's okay for the UK, but not for the US. And that was signed in January 26th. So it's got to make you wonder, was all this a big play? Is all of this a big play? Are they scamming the US? After signing this giant deal, they're trying to bully and pressure the U.S. into giving more and more and more after the U.K. already walked away with this sweet deal. Well, here's Prime Minister of U.K., little Prime Minister Starmer, who apparently has been very vocal about the U.K. standing behind Ukraine and Europe in general just being able to stand on their own and take care of business. But then today, again today, well, not today, March 3rd, the day before this recording, March 3rd, 2025. Might as well be March 4th since UK is on a different time zone. They're pretty much about a day ahead of us. But here we go. Let me play this little clip.
Right. I announced a deal that perfectly symbolizes the new era. A partnership with Ukraine that allows them to use £1.6 billion of UK export finance to buy 5,000 air defence missiles manufactured in Belfast. Yeah. Mr. Speaker, that means UK jobs, UK skills, UK finance pulling together for our national interests, putting Ukraine in the strongest possible position for peace and protecting innocent civilians from the terror of Russian drones. Mr. Speaker, my efforts continued on Thursday when I met President Trump in the White House to strengthen our relationship with America.
Hold on. I thought you guys didn't need America. I thought the UK didn't need America. Europe didn't need America. But here we go. Here we go. Come on, Starmer. Tell everybody the truth. Tell them the truth.
Now, what happened in his subsequent meeting with President Zelensky is something nobody in this House wants to see. Yeah. But I do want to be crystal clear. We must strengthen our relationship with America. Yeah. For our security, for our technology, for our trade and investment.
What? For our security, for our technology, and for our investment. Did you hear everybody in Parliament? Yay, yay, yes, 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 we do need the U.S. Hold on, you signed this sweet deal with Ukraine to rape that country financially, and here you are saying you still need the U.S.? I thought you could stand on your own. I thought you were just fine without us. I thought Zelensky was fine without us. So why are they trying to pull the U.S. into this deal? Why do they need the U.S. support? Are we really that weak nation that doesn't care about the world? Or is everybody underplaying the value that America actually offers? I'll let you be the judge on that one. I'm just here to tell you the story. And of course, I have my own bias, I'm sure. I'm trying to leave it out as much as possible. Excuse my little nuanced my little nuanced inflections there, but this is just boggling to me. This is just boggling to me. I don't get it. I don't get it. The United States had what they wanted. They wanted Europe to stand on their own. They wanted to cut off the piggy bank, and it lasted a few days, and then here they all come running back, asking for the U.S. to step back in. And Zelensky is begging for Trump to sign the deal that the U.S. got chastised for being a big bad bully, a deal that, well, the U.K. signed a month and a half ago, actually, basically doing the same thing and taking even more from Ukraine. Make it make sense, people. Make it make sense. Well, that's it. Thank you very much. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share the show, turn on notifications, and please visit us at www.worldablazepodcast.com. I want to taste your content, hold your breath and feel the tension. Devils hide behind redemption. Honesty is a one-way gate to hell.